Hello! You're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast with your host, MJ. Thanks for hanging out with me today. As usual, before I get to the rest of today's episode, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games at ggportland.com. Today's episode is another What I Like About episode, where I effectively talk for a few minutes about something that I really enjoy about Magic the Gathering, whether that's something about the Commander format, again, always Commander format with me, so it's not like it's a surprise, but whether it's something about the format, something about a particular card strategy, something like that, I like to be able to go over those. Today's episode is what I like about jank brews, and I define a jank brew as a deck... Commander deck, again, that is extremely out of the ordinary. Again, pretty much everyone I run across, or it seems like everyone you run across, has one of the most popular commanders, the Muldrotha, the Urza deck, you know, some sort of CEDH deck, something like that. Or, again, whenever a new set drops, like Commander Legends just did, a lot of people jump to building the brand new decks using the brand new commanders that are in the set. And, well, that's definitely interesting to me, and again, I'm not against doing that. I've always kind of tried to make my hay trying to build around some different commanders, some commanders that don't always necessarily get the same kind of love that the most powerful commanders get to. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, jank brews. The first step to building a jank brew of any kind, for me, is always trying to determine exactly what kind of budget you're working on. Again, while I'm not necessarily opposed to spending some good money on cards, especially if they're ones that you really need in your deck to really make it hum and work right, I always try to build my decks on a budget. Again, since in Magic, the most powerful cards don't always have the largest price tags, you're able to kind of find a mix of powerful cards as well as cards that are always outside the norm, and that's really what I enjoy about this game, is the cards that are extremely powerful in the right situation, but may not have mainstream success, or may not necessarily fit with the most common theme for a certain commander. And so half the fun for me of trying to do a jank brew is trying to be able to figure out how to make a deck as cheap as possible while still reaching the end goal. Again, I'm not necessarily making things perfect. I don't try to make my decks perfectly tuned. I do upgrade them from time to time, but I always try to find a slightly less than linear playstyle, something where, again, you're never going to be able to have the exact same play pattern twice with that deck. And again, if you've listened to the episode that I had on variants a while back, I do find that variants itself is definitely one of the best parts of the Commander format. So I really do enjoy having decks that don't necessarily run in a linear fashion, because I really do enjoy seeing what happens game to game. And having a lot of cards that don't necessarily do the exact same thing twice is definitely part of a jank brew that I try to have, so that even if my deck is absolutely getting killed, I can still have some fun during the game playing with some weird cards that, again, people have probably never heard of, or that may have a different sort of application in that deck than a lot of other people have in their decks or have seen from other players. The second element to a jank brew, in my opinion, is trying to find a commander who's outside the norm. Again, I want to stress that, again, I have nothing against those who build decks with very popular commanders. I have some extremely popular commanders in my own commander collection. I have a Queen Marchesa deck. I have an Alayla Artful Provocateur deck. I have several other decks that have some fairly popular commanders, or that I've at least built over the last year and a half here with popular commanders. I used to have a Kess deck, for instance, before I tore that apart because it was a steaming pile of crap. But, I mean, I did build it. And what I really enjoy about the jank brews, though, is that, again, they're not commanders that someone's going to see at a table and they're going to roll their eyes, or they're going to have an extreme problem with that deck. This is something I dealt with when I had both my Muldrotha and my Kess deck, both of which are now long gone, because people had terrible experiences with those decks. But I have found that if people see a commander that they've never seen before, or they really don't know how it's going to work in the command zone, they're more interested in seeing what you have to offer during the course of the game. And I feel like that kind of interaction, even if you don't win the game, is almost more interesting, because you're able to impress other people. And that's what I really enjoy about the jank brews. So when I try to build a jank brew, I try to find some sort of commander that has a really interesting effect, but is also really outside the mainstream. So I'm going to use my Kothafed Soul Hoarder deck. It's a mono-black deck using Kothafed Soul Hoarder. He helms about 40 decks or so on EDH Rec right now. 6/6 Demon with Flying. And effectively the text reads, whenever a permanent leaves the battlefield, or an opponent's permanent leaves the battlefield, I, as the player who controls Kothafed, get to draw a card at the cost of one life. So effectively, it's just like Midnight Reaper, just for your opponents. And what I really enjoy about Kothafed is that he's a very janky commander that has a lot of power stapled to him. I first got the idea when the EDH Rec podcast, again, those guys are great for a lot of things, when they mentioned that Kothafed was not getting built because people were really afraid that, you know, they were going to get decked, and especially in terms of Smothering Tithe. And I took that as a personal challenge, honestly, because I saw a lot of value stapled onto Kothafed himself. And figured, well, you know, at least in my play group, we don't really play Smothering Tithe a whole lot, so I'm going to give it a try, see what happens, and try to build some sort of weird sacrifice deck. And it's actually turned out really well. I filled the deck with a lot of sacrifice effects, whether it's Fleshbag Marauder, the Plaguecrafter, Merciless Executioner, things like that, that force my opponents to be able to sacrifice things, and then try to find ways to ping them when things go to the graveyard. Again, I also run things like Steel Hellkite, Noxious Gearhulk, things that kill opponents' creatures. So I'm not only trying to make them sacrifice creatures, but I'm also trying to kill creatures, and I'm using those cards to be able to then try to draw further down my deck to be able to get to the big finishers, the Exsanguinates, the Grey Merchants of Asphodel, things like that. So I really try to have a lot of fun with that deck, and I really do enjoy Kothafed because he's got a lot of value stapled to him, but again, he's just a 6/6 flyer and a beater, and I just don't know why he's not more popular. I feel like he's a great commander. Maybe the biggest problem is that he's in mono black, which, again, mono black is not bad, but dual color commanders or three color commanders are typically stronger because you do have access to more colors. But I really do think the mono black is not a bad environment, especially in that kind of commander deck where you're able to get a lot of value out of those creatures. So in my search for a jank brew right there, I found a commander that I really enjoy in a deck that I really enjoy piloting. The third thing that I really think is important about jank brews is trying to find ways of improving your deck that are really outside the norm and don't necessarily fall under what EDH Rec or similar websites say. So I'm going to use my Kothafed deck again, for instance. I really wanted to utilize some interesting plays that people that make other players stop and ask me what the hell I was doing. Because, again, there's really not a whole ton of value to me doing these sorts of things. But I want to do that because it's fun. And again, Commander is a social format, and it's all about having fun. So, you know, if I'm not going to win the game, which again, you don't have to win the game to have fun Commander, if I'm at least going to have that fun with the cards in my deck and the choices that I'm making, because again, they turn heads, and really, if I've turned people's heads with my jank brews, I feel as a jank brewer that I have been extremely successful in my endeavor. So what I did was, when I was going through my long box, I found several copies of the Urza Tron lands. Again, this is Urza's Power Plant, Urza's Tower, and Urza's Mine. And I figured that in a monocolor deck, that I might be able to get away with running those three cards. So in Once in a Blue Moon, if I could somehow hit 7 mana, so if I could somehow hit those three cards, as far as lands, I'd be able to play them and get 7 mana off of them whenever I tapped all three of them. So I decided to throw those in there, and it's been really fun to have those in there. My play group really likes it because, again, it's off the beaten path. It's something completely different that you do not expect. And then when I use Expedition maps, for instance, to be able to tutor up for one of those lands, it's always fun. It's, hey, am I going to get a land that's really going to help me, or am I going to just kind of get one of these Urza lands because it's funny? And I really do enjoy playing the Urza lands, and it's definitely one of the best things I think is in that Kothafed deck, because again, it's not all that important, it's certainly not necessary, but it's certainly funny and no one expects it, so that's why it's in there. It's a jank brew. And the fourth and last key that I have to building a jank brew is not underestimating the power of commons and uncommon cards. I have a whole long box or two long boxes full of effectively draft chaff cards that are never going to be used because, again, they're meant for formats outside of Commander. They're meant for Limited in most cases, but in some cases they may be Modern staples or Standard staples. But again, in Commander, they may not be all that powerful. And for my Jank Brews, I do try to utilize some of those cards, even if they're not optimal, because I feel like even those cards need to have a home as well. So in my Kothafed deck, again, using that as an example, is one of my favorite Jank Brews that I've ever put together. I run a lot of very small creatures with lifelink. Again, these could include things like Vampire of the Dire Moon or Vampire Nighthawk. Again, very important cards that have some really solid bases, have a whole lot of different keyword abilities, but mostly have lifelink. Yeah, but I do also like to run smaller cards that really have no reason being there except for the fact that they have lifelink on them and they're small and fast. Again, trying to run a bit of a mono-black aggro strategy, try to get some life in that deck to offset the card draw downside the Kothafed has. And I've ended up running a lot of commons in that deck. Again, one of the examples from War of the Spark is Banehound. It's a 1-1 for 1 black. Has lifelink and haste, and I've found that when I'm able to get that out on turn two, I mean, not always on turn one, but definitely on turn two, I'm always able to get a few points of damage in with that card, and people never see it coming. And again, if I end up losing the card, it's not a big deal. It's not like I'm losing my larger threats, I'm not losing my Noxious Gearhulk, I'm not losing my Massacre Worm, Steel Hellkite, anything like that. But I'm able to get a few points of damage in early, and I'm just using a common. These are not cards you're going to see in a standard brew because they're not optimal. If I was going to optimize this deck, there's certainly a lot better ways to give my creatures lifelink, to be able to gain more life, expensive cards, but I didn't really want to have to go out and get those. Again, this goes back to the budget thing, is that I wanted to be able to keep this deck to a budget. I had to pick up some cards, sure, from online. Again, I use TCG Player whenever possible. They're a great resource and they'll allow you to have access to a whole lot of local game stores. But again, I already had a lot of these cards in my collection, and I figured, well, if I'm going to make this a jank brew, do I really need to optimize it? I can always add cards later as I play with the deck, but again, right now, I wanted to just try to get in some really quick attacks, and Banehound, for instance, is a great example because it has that haste clause. So I'm allowed to attack with it on turn one, I'm able to get a point of damage in every couple turns, and then, you know, after turn three, four, it's shut off, but, you know, it gives me a blocker, has lifelink, you know, it kind of fits in that mold. It's not great, but on the other hand, it's something with lifelink, it was cheap. I already had a whole bunch of copies, and it's about 5 cents, so if I was worried about a budget, which I'm not really in that deck, but again, I was trying not to spend too much building the deck out of cards I didn't already own in my long box, that I was able to get a lot of value out of the creature I needed that I'm also not really afraid to throw away to some like a Fleshbrag Marauder. So I was able to find a way to utilize a lot of commons and uncommons to be able to build that deck while still hitting the main point. And that's what's really important in Jank Brew. You're still trying to have synergy, you just don't necessarily need to have the best synergy. As long as you have the cards in there, and as long as you think it's fun and you don't worry about it, then that's all that matters in a Jank Brew. So now I want to hear from you as the listeners. What are your opinions on Jank Brews? Do you think that what I've laid out over the last 10 minutes or so has enticed you to start building some new Jank Brews? Do you have some interesting Jank Brews that you'd like to share? You can find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. You can also find me on various other Discord servers. I can also be reached at Gmail at MTGInQuarantine@gmail.com. Alright, that about wraps things up. You've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Thank you for listening. Have a great holiday.